So, ladies and gentlemen, that is the story and the news that we have for you today. But I would like to make a statement before the Q&A begins. The story of ARPAS in Kenya has been ongoing for a long time. That first notice that you saw in the media recently, the public notice that was given by KCA at the time, that was in 2014. In 2015 is when we began the process of creating the regulations, policies and procedure for drone operations in Kenya. So it's been a long while coming. Even though the regulations were promulgated through the Kenya Gazette notice on the 6th of October last year, it is only until this point where we are at liberty to come and inform you that drone operations are legal in Kenya. However, there's one more step to follow. Even though these regulations have been promulgated via the Gazette notice through those legal notices, there's one final step to go, and that is ratification by Parliament. Parliament is the lawmaker in this country. So we have not yet fulfilled 100% the requirement of the regulations in Kenya. I have been summoned to Parliament tomorrow to give further information that they have requested before they grant approval for these regulations, or rather to ratify these regulations, because they're already approved. Therefore, even though we are announcing that drone operations are legal and operational, we still have that one final step, which I think you should report, that Parliament needs to give its recommendation or ratification of these regulations that were created by us. And they specifically wanted to know what are the powers that we have as KCAA to create regulations. So we're just going to make that abundantly clear, the legal instruments that make us, the regulator, be able to come up with drone regulations. The other thing I want to mention is that I'm sure when you're listening to the presentation, you did not take much interest in how we created the policy, procedures and regulations and the processes that we went through. Because drone operations are very emotive, I believe and I know, and I certainly feel it myself, that that slide is what is concerning you the most. I have seen very hostile media reports through social media that KCA is charging a bomb. I buy a drone for 20,000 and then you want me to pay 1 million to operate it. That is not true. As government, we're not very good at explaining things in a simple manner. Therefore, what we have done, and I want to preempt your questions, I have tasked the ARPAS task force to come up with a simple document, like the memes that you see on WhatsApp, that will say, here's a drone, I want it as a toy. This is the procedure you will follow. For toys, it's very straightforward. There's nothing to do. You just go and buy the toy, you bring it in. I've even seen them in supermarkets. And you can operate it because that's a toy. It does not provide or pose any danger to the public. Our primary concern is safety of persons and their property, but paramount is security. I know that all of you have seen that WhatsApp video on a drone that was carrying a machine gun. Do you remember it? Have you all seen it? Can you imagine a situation where you are somewhere and you see a drone flying in and then it starts firing at you? What will you think what would you feel? I certainly would be extremely scared. I would fear for my life. I want you to begin to understand the seriousness of the security implication of drone operations anywhere in the world. People who have other motives can come and make your lives hell, and you can even lose your life in the process. I would like you to understand why it has taken this long to come up with regulations that will protect you and me from any such possibilities, what we call in aviation terms, acts of unlawful interference. We do not want to see that here. Therefore, the reasoning behind these charges, and it wasn't us who came up with these charges, it was higher authority than us who came up with these charges, was to deter the possibility of people who wish to create acts of unlawful interference from having free access or easy access to drone operations in Kenya. But having said that, these charges are expensive. So I want to save you time in your Q&A. We understand and we know they're expensive. But in 6 months' time, come July, when we have seen how these operations are going, we will call you. We will call you stakeholders. We will sit down. We will discuss these regulations. We will make amendments where you feel we need to make amendments. We will also discuss the charges where you feel we will require to review the charges. But for now, we are going to create a very simple structure of how we will charge. So if you are a recreational enthusiast, we'll tell you to do recreational, it will cost you this much to register, and this whatever it is that you need to pay. One figure at the bottom that is simple and easy for you to understand. When NTV has a breaking story, we will tell you what it will cost in a simple way of how you can bring in a drone and use it to conduct your business. So all I will request is that you give us a few days and we will circulate a simplified fee structure for drone operations in Kenya. And I hope that will meet with your acceptance, because that is the way it will go. So for today, we're discussing the technical matter of drone operations. We may not fully understand it 100%, in particular the charges, but we'll demonstrate to you how it will not cost you ₸1,000,000 to come and do a ₸20,000 drone operation, because that is not the case. We're also looking at how we have two charges. There's an import charge, and then there's also the certificate to operate. We want to see how we can make that just a one-time fee. Instead of an import and a registration, maybe we just add your registration. But you will need to know what it is that you are importing. Another very important announcement I wish to make is that we know and we are aware and we have seen in this country hundreds, if not thousands, of drone operations happening. You see them mainly in weddings and other public functions. All of you have seen them. You see them in the news. You see them in political campaigns. You can tell these images are from drones, but they have been illegal all this time. It is illegal to operate a drone in Kenya unless and until you have come to KCAA and registered your drone. So, we are giving you 6 months to do so. For those of you who are operating drones already in this country, whether you're from the media or other private sources, please voluntarily come to us and register your drone. And then we will inform you what you need to do to be able to operate that drone in a lawful manner. Because it is very good for you to know what the rules and regulations are so that you can have safe drone operations. There's a place where we've written, and it's in the newspaper advert of today. The penalties for offenses against drone operations. Please take those very, very seriously. Within this 6-month period that we are allowing you to register, and when you register, there will be no punitive action taken against you for having already imported a drone. So we will not be charging you import fees. All we'll do is charge you the fee that will allow you to operate. So we want you to voluntarily come and register yourself so that you can operate this drone legally. So I hope that that is clear information. And if you decide you're not going to register and then you get caught, here is what we have told the police to do. Any drone that they see operating in this country, not Nairobi, in this country, go and politely talk to the person who is operating that drone and ask that person to show you their approval certificate. If you do not have an approval from KCAA, one of two things will happen to you. Number one, that police officer may forgive you that first time and very politely tell you to come to us and register your drone. Or they could decide to arrest you and take you behind bars, and you will go to court and you will face a fine of up to 2 million shillings. It could be less. And or a prison term not exceeding 6 months. Please pay attention to the fines and penalties for non-compliance with these regulations. It is extremely important for your own personal comfort as drone operators. So come to us starting today. We give you 6 months from today. Voluntarily register yourselves and we will show you how you can operate freely and within the laws of Kenya. So I think with that statement, that is what we would like to tell you for today. And we are now open for any Q&As, but please don't ask questions on things I've already clarified. So perhaps ask us something that we have not mentioned. Thank you. Jimmy.
I can see that the fees is well thought out. You know, we can argue with that, but it is there.
Sorry, say again.
What has not been mentioned is time spans. How long does it take to like license? How long does it take to register? And how long does it take to get permission?
The initial period will take, is it 4 weeks? How many weeks was it?
The law provides for 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
But this depends on administrative processes in the various organizations that are managing these things. These are just formative studies, and you'll find some of these processes are not as smooth as you'd have expected.
So we are still challenged a bit in that. It takes a little longer than what the law provides, but we are styling up when we mature. It's going to be 2 weeks, which isn't the law.
Now, that is 2 weeks on the outside. That is what we want to do, but we'd like to do it faster than that. Now, when Captain Ogencha was explaining the procedure, he did mention that we require approval from the Ministry of Defense. KCA gives authorization. MOD gives approval. MOD consults with the other state agencies. They look at what kind of a drone are you operating, what do you want to do with it, and what are the implications on security in Kenya. Now, we have a team that is already set up. It's known as the Multi-Agency Committee, and it is chaired by the Deputy Air Force Commander. And in that committee, we have all the security organs. We all know, and it is our desire to give approvals as soon as possible. We're saying for now, allow 2 weeks, but as we move along and things become easier and we get more experience, we want to reduce that period to maybe even a day or two. But we would also like to inform you that Kenya is only one out of three countries, I believe, in Africa that have regulations. All the other countries do not have. So we are also in the initial stages. Even globally, there aren't many countries that have drone regulations in their own states. So we are among the first few states around the world to have these regulations in place for people to be able to operate in a lawful manner. But there's one thing I did not mention. You're aware that there are many drones that have been impounded by customs. So what we're saying, you are now free, whoever it is that has that document that customs gave you when they impounded your drone. Customs have said, you may now go to the airport, wherever it was impounded, go and claim it from customs. And they will not charge you. There will be no punitive fee for having kept your drone all that time. You know, customs, they charge demurrage fees and storage fees and all that. We have convinced them not to charge you anything. So when you're going to remove your drone from there, we'll give you the opportunity to register it at that time, so that when you take it with you, you'll be taking it with you in full compliance with the regulations that we have come up with. Thank you.
Andrew Chin, NTV. Two questions. Do you have a particular number of drones in the country at the moment? And secondly, don't you feel it would be better to categorize media separately? Because what we do is more of public interest. Some of the shots we take, we don't take to sell or take to publish to people to just illustrate what exactly is happening. We don't make a profit out of it. So if you charge $200 for every time we shoot floods, for instance, this season, some of the media houses will go bankrupt. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrew Cheng. I follow you on the NTV. I'm one of your fans. Now, we have no idea how many drones there are in Kenya. No idea. All we can do is guess. That is why we're giving you this opportunity to register, because we actually want to know how many drones we have operating here in Kenya. That is why we've given a 6-month period to be able to allow you to be able to do that, so that we can get that statistic. It's an important statistic to have. So please make it clear that we need people to register, so that we can just go ahead and have an organized drone operational system in Kenya. Could you repeat your second question, please?
My second question was on the categorization of where media specifically lies, because the shots we take are not necessarily meant for sale, they're meant for publication and public interest. Right? What is that?
Thank you, that's a very good question. Now, media houses, news gathering, falls under the commercial category. It's the most expensive category that there is. What you do is for commercial reasons. That's why you're under the commercial category. What we want to do is come up with a system where you have one fee per year, for instance, so that you can go and do your news gathering in places. Like Akech was saying, if an accident occurs or if my Mahiu is doing the things that it is doing and you need aerial photographs with drones, we will certainly make it possible to just charge an annual fee to allow you to do things like that, to make it much more affordable, so that you don't have to do something, you know, at every single operation that you have, that you have to pay us something. So these are the things that we are going to monitor, and we're going to do that together with you, our stakeholders, so that when we meet in July, we'll have a very clear way forward on how we should amend our regulations and even how we should amend our charges. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Oscar from Aerobot, and I look at the classifications you've got, and there's one thing I think is missing, and that's development and manufacture. It seems that all the regulations imply that we have to import the drones. My business is trying to make drones that meet the requirements of working in Kenya, and looking at some of the regulations and the modification particularly makes it almost impossible to think about building and researching drones here.
Yeah, that's a very good question. Akech, what would you like to say about that?
In the body of the regulations, there's a regulation about manufacture, assembly of drones locally. So, and we are working to create processes that will facilitate that activity so that the CA gives you approval to do that. But it's provided in the regulations. When you look at that whole set, you'll find it expressed somewhere.
Thank you.
Captain Kibbe, thank you very much, and I'd like to thank the KCA for all the good work that they've been doing. A lot of people might not know how much time and effort they do put into the regulations. Coming from an aviation background of over 40 years and having operated ARPAS for over 5 years outside of Kenya, of course, until now, I have quite a lot of knowledge of the regulations, and I've assisted worked with the KCA before in 2018 when the K-cards came out. And a lot of people boo-hooed the regulations when it came out. This is for manned aviation. But what it did was open up the skies. And I think if you ask every aviator now, they will tell you that the K-cards are a good thing. We have direct flights to the US now because of it. And the aviation industry has boomed. So I commend the KCA for what they're doing. Let's not discuss fees. That's already been covered, and it will be looked at in the future. Oscar, I think your point was very valid. There are a lot of people who are trying to develop drones in Kenya, including ourselves, so that's a good point. My main concern today, I think, because there are a couple of concerns, but the main one I focus on is safety. Coming from an aviation background, somebody who buys a drone and goes and flies it around without any knowledge of aviation won't understand it if they go out into the Ngong Hills and fly up 1,000 feet and try and take photos of the windmills, that you will take down an aircraft. So there has to be some sort of training and regulation and certification in place. It's very important. But to define a toy as anything up to 2 kgs and not powered by any fuel system. A battery is by definition a fuel system. And the UK Department for Transport, BALPA, the British Airline Pilots Association, and the MMA, the Military Aviation Authority in UK, conducted a study. They've done bird strike studies on aircraft, and they did drone strike studies on aircraft, from helicopters to general aviation to airlines. Now, anything 0.4 kgs and less has no real significance to human or aircraft impact. But from 0.4 kgs up to 0.5 kgs, which includes your Phantoms, can significantly damage the windscreen of a general aviation aircraft, which is not certified for bird strike, and take down a helicopter and a general aviation aircraft. Most significant impact on airlines, but 2 kgs, from 1.5 kgs up to 2 kgs and above, will significantly damage an airliner's windscreen. And if ingested into the engine, the LiPo battery will cause a flame out on that engine. So it's very serious. So my concern is the weight category, and put forward by our club, Drone Club Kenya, which will be assisting to register and certify all enthusiasts. We set up certain weight categories which we think would be most sensible, from zero to 0.3, which is basically a toy that needs a very short 1 hour course to notify people that they mustn't fly within 50 meters of vehicles and buildings and so on and so forth, not above 400 feet. And there's a good reason for not going above 400 feet because manned aviation shouldn't go below 500 feet, so there's a 100 foot separation. And as the weight categories increase, it becomes more important to have a more significant training schedule. So it's just the weight categories that does concern me, and I hope that's something we can look at in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That is a very, very good comment statement that you have made. Number one, ARPAS operators, we call the pilot of an ARPAS, we call them an operator. ARPAS operator training is something that we support 100%. We are saying that we want to license ARPAS approved training organizations. And I believe yours is one of the organizations, Mr. Cleve. Now, what you people should do is to talk to Mr. Cleve. He's got a club that he has set up. So for you people who want to operate under the sports and recreational category, the best thing is to join a drone club. And so a few of them are being registered. Like I'm saying, he's already got one, so you should talk to him. He's also applied for an approved training organization for drone training. He is a licensed drone pilot. So he's one of the people that we would recommend. We will be licensing other people as we move along. But the weight category that you are emphasizing on is true. And that is very useful information. You are certainly going to be in our team when we do the review later on this year, so that we can fine tune even the categories that we have. Because when you think of it, even something that is 2 kilos, that's quite large. Even though it may have limited use, but there are some which could have far much more use than we think. That's why we have the military and other security organs with us, because these are the real experts in the field. So when you are applying for that approval, rest assured that people who are technically capable, qualified and competent with drone operations are the ones who will be looking at your application. So if an application for use is turned down, they'll give a reason, and if it's because of a safety nature or even very importantly a security nature, we will let you know. Thank you. Next question.
Thank you for the outreach. Could you comment on the fact that Parliament is yet to ratify vis-a-vis the enforcement of these regulations, and also comment on the operations of drones vis-a-vis freight bus? Thank you.
Parliament requires to ratify these regulations so that they are part and parcel of the laws of Kenya under the Civil Aviation Act. So that is something that we are going to do. And like I said, I'll be going to Parliament tomorrow to make certain things clear or clearer to them before they give us ratification. It is something that they want to do. They're very keen on doing it. So all we'll need is a few more days to get the parliamentary approval. Now, operating drones vis-a-vis flight paths, the rules and regulations are extremely abundantly clear. Download the regulations from our website and you will see the restrictions that you have you're not allowed to fly anywhere near an airport. Therefore, you should never be able to interfere with the flight path of airplanes. At no time. It is strictly prohibited. It's not restricted. It is prohibited to fly anywhere near an airport. And the rules and regulations will tell you the dimensions, the minimum distances you should keep away from any airport or airstrip. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see he already has a microphone. So you'll be next. Huh?
Hi. Sorry, my name is Colin. Okay. And in these 6 months that you're giving us to come and register our drones, let's say I want to come and fly commercially, would I have to, following the regulations that I found on the website, would I still need an operations manual, radio telephony license, and medical certificates, and you should be able to know that I can read a map and things like that, according to the regulations. So do I need all those before I come and register my drone and I want to fly commercially?
Yes, ideally that's what you should do. But if there's something that you're not clear about, you come and talk to us and we'll make it very clear what the requirement will be.
All right, because of some of these things, you can't just pick it up anywhere or online. So would that mean I have to come to a school to learn these? And where can I find information on such schools?
Yes, that is true. Currently, we don't have any licensed or approved drone training schools in Kenya. We do have a few applications. The gentleman sitting in front of you is one of them. Talk to him. Yeah. Now, this gentleman here in the front, yeah.
My question is on the issue of pricing to sort of like regulate the usage of these drones. If someone had an ill intention, maybe, as you said, mount a machine gun on a drone, they go through all those processes to still achieve their goal. So do you think there are better modes in which you would have implemented in maybe making sure the person who acquires this drone has the proper intentions or proper use of these machines instead of just putting hefty prices on the registration and licensing fees?
Yeah.
Maybe proper background checks or something like
that. That's correct, yeah. Apart from those heavy charges, when you do apply for a commercial operation or something that has a significant drone operation that is outside of a toy, when you apply, we want to know who you are, the organization, and the person who owns the organization and the operator of that drone. We will want to know that information. So that when we go now to the multi-ministerial task force, those are the things that they will be looking at. They'll be doing a security check and also safety checks. So that is part of the process.
Okay, since these drones, once registered and all that, will actually be manned remotely, will you have some sort of registration that once someone or other drone is caught being flown without proper registration, is there a way you can actually backtrack and know who this particular drone belongs to?
Yeah, we don't currently have it, but we are actively going to procure such a system. It's known as a UTM system, Unmanned Aerial Vehicle Traffic Management System, UTM. We know it's going to be a major investment. It will cost us more than 50 million shillings to invest in a UTM, so that we'll have that capability in the way that you describe. So, when you register somebody, we know where that drone is at all times. And if they do something that violates the regulations, we'll be able to, number one, immobilize that drone wherever it is. It will take over control of it and land it. And we will also track where the operator is and have him arrested if he has done something that is outside of the law. So that is something that is inbound, it's on the way, a UTM system for management of these drones. Yeah.
Ronaldo, KBC. My first question is in line with what he asked. in regards to curriculum or training. Some are self-taught. So I'd like to know when you intend to come up with a curriculum that even learning institutions can adopt to ensure that there is some sort of standard when it comes to training.
Yeah.
Two is on approval before issuance of a certificate or even a driver's license. You're supposed to go to test before you're issued with that particular document. So when it comes to drones, I don't know what sort of framework probably put in place to ensure that someone comes to you for a certificate is actually pilot, is a pilot, qualified pilot.
Yes.
Two is on the import.
That's three. Let me answer your first two. On curriculum, that is something that is currently under development. It's not there yet. For the licensing regime, we accept foreign licenses because we don't currently have any of our own licenses at the moment. But we do have a licensing regime that we are introducing here in Kenya. And we're working on the modalities of how we can register you as a pilot that has been trained outside of an institution that is not an ARPAS approved training organization. So that is something that is in development. So actually, as Kenya, we're doing a brave thing. We're saying, let's go ahead, let's come up with this system, let's get to learn together as we go along, so that we don't stop you from achieving your dreams. Because it's been a dream of so many people in this country, whether it is recreational, private, or commercial, to operate drones. Why? Drones are useful, but drones are also deadly. So, put it like this, you are going to help us to develop those systems that we already do not have in place. But we want to say, we want you to start operating now, in a safe manner and in a lawful manner. Yeah.
So is there a likelihood that the curriculum probably will be ready by July?
I don't know. We'll try and have it ready by the time we are reviewing these regulations. That will be by July this year. Yeah, we'll work on it. And we'll take that up seriously.
And just finally, on commercial use, we've seen what the likes of Amazon is doing. I don't know whether you'll be doing it by radios. I don't know. In terms of commercial delivery in e-commerce.
We're looking at that space as well. We haven't decided precisely how it's going to work. Currently, we're working on a line of sight system. Line of sight means that you can see the drone. So even though you're controlling it remotely as an operator, but you can actually see where it is at all times. But beyond visual line of sight is an interesting area. And it's something that we want to actually encourage, but in a controlled manner. There are many organizations that have approached us for such requests. Not from Amazon, but we've had a request from Uber. Uber drone taxi. They want to come and do some of their testing here in Kenya. Facebook also have some applications that they want to do. These are global companies, and even others. The Red Cross, we're about to license them for some certain kind of drones that can be used for emergency operations, search and rescue. They even have a drone which can assist victims of, say, heart attacks. Yeah, we were very impressed with what the Red Cross wants to introduce in Kenya. So that is not out of the question. That is part of what we want to do and also to encourage, but in a controlled manner. Thank you. Yes, sir.
My name is Austin from Migrant in Africa. I have two questions. One, just to echo what he said earlier in regards to the certification for the pilots, in the absence of institutions that have a curriculum and that can actually certify a pilot, would say someone who has experience flying for 1 year use, say, a logbook from the drone as, say, evidence of experience and expertise in what he's been doing thus far that can be used as a way to get the license. And then two, for the drones that are at customs, you mentioned earlier that if you have, I think, Form 89, you can actually go and get them. KCA allows you to actually go and collect them. Do you need any evidence from KCA? Do you need like a letter of approval from KCA, or that document from customs will suffice?
Yes. So what you'll do, you will come to us, or even if you go to customs, they will direct you to us, because we will need to have that drone inspected by some experts to determine its level of safety and security features. So you will be subject to that approval process like anybody else who's importing a drone, and if it is found acceptable, it will be approved. If it is not acceptable, it will not be approved. So we hope that the drones that have been brought here will be drones that can be approved in this country. Yeah. And in terms of, you were saying, experience of operator using a logbook, I didn't understand exactly what you meant.
In this case, usually like in the case of, say, DJI drones, it's almost like a manual that shows how much there's almost like a record of all the flights that you've been involved in, and maybe the locations and such and such. So can that almost work as a backdrop to just prove that this is someone that's been flying, these are the areas that he's flown, this is his experience, that's what?
I wouldn't go so far as to say that would be approvable, but it is something that we can certainly look at. We need to see what kind of record is this, and how is it presented, how is it recorded, in order for us to make an informed decision whether it is something that we can say or state clearly that those hours that you've logged in that logbook can be used for the purpose of, say, getting a drone license. Yeah. So we'll certainly look at that. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, my name is Tim, and I'd like to applaud the efforts being done by the organization to take this task, taking a responsibility of giving us updates on this. And for very long, we've been engaging, I think, the wrong institution, because most of our attention in the tech forum has been directed towards Communication Authority. And I think the response is more towards the application of different use cases beyond the line of sight. You see now, other use cases emerging where we're not talking about beyond GPS, we are talking about transmission on the widespread spectrum. Where does the buck stop in terms of regulation? Because I know that becomes an asset of our Communication Authority.
Mm.
So is there a possibility that we now start seeing two sets of charges for those use cases coming out of that? And then secondly, from a data privacy perspective, because I know you are focusing more on the regulation and admission of the quality for the devices that are going to be used. But how well are you ensuring that the images and the videos captured from the work of drones, the regulation that you cover that aspect of privacy, which is a very key area that you have to understand?
Okay. Thank you. Privacy is an integral part of the policy. The privacy of individuals and people are meant to be guaranteed. You are not allowed to invade the privacy of any person or organization. That is very, very clear. And if you're caught, that is an offense. And something will happen to you of a punitive nature. But now the Communication Authority versus the KCA charges. We don't have anything to do with Communication Authority. All we're interested in is operation of drones in the country. So our charges are specifically for anything that is above ground level, into the air, to an unlimited height. That is where our mandate emanates from, and that covers the entire border of Kenya and what is within. If there are charges that Communication Authority will meet out on operators, that is an entirely different thing, and it cannot be put together with KCAA. Yeah. Gerald.
Thank you. I would like to know what will happen on the legality of drugs in the event Parliament fails to ratify the regulations. And then you can also tell us the number of drugs that have so far been confiscated by customs.
Thank you. The last figure we had was about 500. We thought it was more than that, but we did a quick stock take recently, and we discovered that most of the impounded drones were re-exported. Since they could not import them into Kenya, the owners simply picked them up and took them out of the country. So they're no longer in the country. So the last figure is about 500. Yeah. Sorry, what was the other question?
What will happen with the legality of drugs?
Okay, if Parliament, for whatever reason...
Yes.
You see, Parliament's job is to create laws in this country. These are laws that have been created as rules and regulations under the Civil Aviation Act of 2013 and the amended Act of 2016. We do not see a situation where Parliament would turn down these regulations. We would not see any reason for that. What we're trying to do is to help the industry. We're trying to make this industry legal. For it to be legal, a law has to be passed. The regulations and the rules have to be passed. And that is Parliament's job. So we do not see a situation where they'll say, no, you cannot have drone regulations, because that would be counterproductive. Yes, sir.
I wanted to ask about, are we, like, let's say I don't own a drone, but I want to own or have a license. I'm doing commercial work, but I hire drones to do my work. Must I, my, like, can I have that license without owning that drone?
I believe it should be possible, yes. Yeah, you don't necessarily have to have the drone to have a license to operate drones. So, in fact, what you're saying is a very useful thing, because if you can't afford a drone, but you have somebody who has a drone, and you have a business prospect, we can allow you to lease one. We do that with aeroplanes anyway. We do that with aeroplanes, with helicopters. We allow leases. So, yes, it would be allowable.
Dominic from this moment again. You said that the authority that came up with the regulations was was higher than it was. So who came up with the regulations? The fees, I mean.
The fees were approved by the National Security Advisory Committee, which is one of the highest security organs in this country. And that is where we got those fees from. But otherwise, regulations we developed ourselves. You think I need water?
No, I wanted to tell you, you can summarize and look at them more.
Okay.
Using this opportunity.
Okay.
So that we tell them we have more sensitization.
So I think we can take one more question.
Alan Mwazia Mawiki from Astuarium. The drone regulations categorize drones on use and weight. It also says that you should not operate a drone with military specification. What is military specification in this case?
Well, first of all, you won't be able to bring in a drone that has military specification. because that is only sold to military. So there is no, unless you went and stole a drone from some military installation, it is not likely that you'll be able to have that. So, but having said that, that is the job of the vetting committee that I mentioned earlier, the inter-ministerial agency and task force that sits down to make these approvals. They're the ones who will determine what is safe and what is not, what is approvable and what is not. Yeah.
I would request that immediately they do that, they forward those specs to us, so that when you approach to import something, you are very sure that it's not military, it is what is going to be allowed.
I don't see how you'll be able to, that information will be useful for you. Because where you're going to get your drone from are recognized civil drone manufacturers and sellers and resellers. So I don't see how military spec would be of interest to you. So you will find that that is why we're asking you to get an import permit, so that before you actually import that drone here, we'll look at those specifications and determine whether they are approvable or not. So that before you even ship it here, we can tell you this one, we will not approve. Thank you. So now, ladies and gentlemen, I think we've given you enough time to ask questions. We believe we have given you enough information, but there will be additional information that's coming, in particular, a very simplified charging system, which will be per use. If I want to do a recreational use, how much will it cost? What do I need to do and how much will it cost? If I want to do a private use, I want to go and count, KWS wants to go and count animals in the game parks. What do they need to do and how much will it cost? NTV wants to do a news story on Myanmar Hill. What will it cost? What does he need to do and how much will it cost? We are going to ensure that we give you a very simplified charging system so that you know at all times how much it will cost you to do drone operations in Kenya. So, I think with that, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to take this opportunity to sincerely thank you for joining us this morning for breakfast, giving us your time and your attention to be able to be briefed about this new regime that we're getting into of drone operations in Kenya. You're always free to ask additional questions through phone or email. And rest assured, when the time comes to make any amendments to our rules and regulations and policies and procedures, you will be invited as stakeholders to join us, because we don't want to do this alone. It's also a constitutional requirement that stakeholders must be involved at every stage in the development of our rules and regulations for our past operations. So thank you so much and have a good day. Let's go and serve the public wherever it is that we are coming from. Thank you.
Thank you.